What do the election results mean for the Bush tax cuts?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Results continue to trickle in, but we now know that Republicans will take control of the House of Representatives come January. Before that, however, on the last day of December, those Bush tax cuts everybody's talking about will expire. So what happens now on the tax front? For answers, we turn to Marketplace's Scott Tong, who's with us now live from Washington. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So the Republicans are going to control the House. We know that for sure. What do they want to do with these tax cuts?
Well, they want to extend them for everybody. Now, what we're talking about is income tax cuts that go back to 2001 and 2003 for all of us, for everyone who pays taxes. If Congress does nothing, those tax cuts expire December 31st, as you said. The incoming Republican majority in the House wants to extend all of them as part of its new tone it wants to set in this town. GOP Congressman John Boehner is the speaker-to-be.
While our new majority will serve as your voice in the People's House, we must remember it's the president who sets the agenda for our government. The American people have sent an unmistakable message to him tonight, and that message is change course.
All right, Scott, so the Republicans in the House want to change course, but we will still have a Democratic-controlled Senate and obviously the White House as well, controlled by Democrats. How does that change the debate on these tax cuts?
Well, the Democrats, most Democrats, want to extend just some of the tax cuts, only tax cuts for households making less than $250,000.
Right.
If your income is higher than that, they want the tax cuts to expire and your rate goes up. So we have a couple scenarios here. If the two parties want a deal, they could meet before the new winners come in a lame duck session, that is, before the end of the calendar year, and they could extend the tax cuts, say, for some but not all of the highest earners. That would be some of the middle ground between the two parties. Or they could wait until the new Congress comes in January with a split Capitol Hill, in which case, if they do anything, they would have to backdate any extensions in time for tax season in April.
All right, interesting. We'll be watching Marketplace's Scott Tong in Washington. Thanks.
You're welcome.
And let's check global markets. European markets are up at this hour. Asian markets also higher as investors wait for word from the Federal Reserve, which is expected to announce new plans today to boost the economy. The Dow jumped 64 points yesterday to close at 11,188. Well, today, 20,000 flight attendants with Delta Airlines finished voting on whether to unionize. The merger of Delta and Northwest has brought Delta's non-union employees together with Northwest's mostly unionized workforce. Jim Burris has more from WABE in Atlanta.
Between the radio and TV commercials like this one from a major union,
we need those workers to keep their jobs. That's why
you'd think this union vote was really a national referendum. If the majority votes yes, this could be the first time in its 80-plus year history that people other than Delta executives determine wages and benefits.
We don't believe that the outcome of these representation elections would materially change our cost projections.
That's Delta spokeswoman Gina Laughlin. She says in the 2008 merger with Northwest, Delta already factored in what a unionized workforce would cost the airline's bottom line. Delta is hush-hush on those figures, but Laughlin says this issue isn't so much about cash.
This is about culture, not costs.
Laughlin says that the company already has an open-door policy where managers and workers have no trouble negotiating wages and benefits. Dan Petrie heads the business college at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University in Florida. He agrees corporate culture is important, but says unionizing Delta workers doesn't have to change that culture. That depends on Delta.
The onus is really on management to work tirelessly, to identify areas where they and their workers can agree and build a positive relationship, whether there's a union involved or not.
Petrie says wages don't play as big a role in the industry's bottom line as airplane capacity and one more thing. Customer satisfaction.
I think at the end of the day, what really matters is how do the workers interact with their customers, because that's what really builds your reputation.
So a merger that 2 years ago began with the question, which soda do we choose to serve, Coke or Pepsi, concludes with which status do workers choose, union or non? In Atlanta, I'm Jim Burris for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, with financial professionals nationwide who are trained to serve the unique financial needs of their clients at massmutual.com. By Novo Nordisk, since 1923, innovative developer of diabetes treatments and delivery devices at novonordisk-us.com. And by PBS, taking you deep inside the world of the big top. Circus, starting tonight at 9, 8 Central on PBS.
Today, you can get a McRib at McDonald's once again. The molded pork patty sandwich with onions, pickles, and special sauce returns for a few weeks every year. But this time, the McRib is selling at every McDonald's instead of just select locations. Marketplace's Eve Tro reports.
Is it back?
That's what I heard when I said McRib at the office from Marketplace engineer Nathan Rule.
I have a childhood attachment to the McRib, but I need to go seek it out.
The McRib has been a kind of holy grail.
Sir, are you all right? I have eaten the ribs of God.
Homer Simpson once joined a band of ribheads to roam the land in search of one. McDonald's created the McRib in 1981. Sales were weak, so it became a sporadic special.
Pretty elusive, and it typically comes back in November, based on what I see.
Alan Klein made an online McRib locator. How far has he driven to get one?
About 4 hours.
4 hours. Morningstar analyst R.J. Hodevy says McDonald's thinks the grassroots hype has reached critical mass.
The product has spread due to word of mouth, and I think it's probably long overdue to be a national product at this point.
But in 6 weeks, the McRib will disappear. Only the mystery will remain. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
And while we're on the subject of McDonald's, San Francisco's Board of Supervisors has passed a law that bans restaurants from giving away toys with kids' meals that are deemed unhealthy. The law says if you want to give away a toy, the meal it comes with can't have more than 600 calories and must contain fruits and vegetables. For the record, the McRib clocks in at just under 500 calories, but that doesn't include the fries. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Inner Mongolia is making so much money selling coal to China that they're building whole new cities. Problem is, nobody lives in them yet.
The nearest supermarket is half an hour away. Will people start to move here? There are still a lot of empty properties.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Mongolia's growing pains. Add all the day's business news, the numbers from Wall Street as well. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.